Syrian refugees.
Right.
President Obama has said he will increase the number allowed in to 10,000. Is that enough?
I think the United States has to do more, and I would like to see us move from what is a good start with 10,000 to 65,000. Radio.
Radio Free Vegas.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to episode 1625, and happy Father's Day to all of you this great weekend. I had a great weekend. I hope you guys all had a great weekend too, and I hope you are off to a great start for the new week. 4th of July is just a couple of weeks away. Marble is a week less than a week away. We'll be talking about that and more right here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. And thank you guys for your understanding also for going doing the podcast at 8 p.m. So it is later in the evening. But I know that the overwhelming majority of you hit the podcast download on Monday morning for your commute and for the rest of the week. So most of you won't be affected and didn't even know, but I hope you guys had a great Father's Day yesterday, today, earlier today, yesterday for most of you. We have a lot to go through. I was just going to do a short little kind of abbreviated version this week, but there's so much information. I'm going to run through it as quickly as I can. And the news cycle, it is... you can't cover it all in the Saturday and Sunday show, even to recap it. There's, I know several people have said, when are you going to start doing the show every day? And that's going to be a while. I have no ambitions of doing a daily show, although it could be beneficial. And I do enjoy this. And there is an abundance of news and developments on an hourly basis right now is what it feels like, as fast as the news cycle is going. But we're going to do our best. And if you follow us on Facebook, social media, we post stuff up there multiple times a day. I know a lot of you do not do Facebook or any type of social media. I don't blame you. If you do, that's great. It's a great way to stay connected and, you know, keep fast-flowing information going. But we're also posting stuff up on radioforredoubt.com. And also, the folks over at Redoubt News are doing a great job of keeping a lot of content current, stuff that you won't find anywhere else and stuff that you won't find in very many other places. So check those out throughout the day as well. Now let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the societal, cultural, and economic collapse in America and the rebuilding. It's great. 10 book series with all audio books out. Now let's get into international news. First of all, I just read a story. I didn't pull into my notes here, but we are going nose to nose with Russia in the airspace over Syria. And we've had some very serious close calls. I'm concerned about this because this does affect us as patriots. If things escalate, somebody pulls the trigger, a Russian fighter pulls a trigger on a U.S. fighter, and they get into a skirmish, somebody gets hurt, that could escalate things. Additionally, could escalate things. That whole region right now is a tinderbox. You've got U.S.-backed forces going up against Russian-backed forces. And United States and Russia directly involved in air and bombing campaigns in the same airspace. That's a very volatile situation. In other news, we tried to follow Venezuela, what's going on there. Yahoo News is running a story about Venezuela police having arrested hundreds of people as the country's food crisis erupted into deadly looting this past week, heightening hardship and political uncertainty in the impoverished oil-producing nation. It is a mess, and it's not getting any better there. National news, there is a lot, and the most troubling, the situation last weekend with the shooter that the government does not want to call Islamic-related. In fact, Lynch just announced that they are going to be censoring and scrubbing the references to his loyalty to Islam. In an interview with NBC's Chuck Todd, Attorney General Loretta Lynch said that on Monday, today, tomorrow, for while you're listening to this, the FBI will release edited transcripts of the 911 calls made by the Orlando nightclub shooter to the police. She said, "What we are not going to do is further proclaim this man's pledges of allegiance to terrorist groups and further his propaganda." Really? If this guy was screaming, white power or something, the South will rise again or something, they'd be playing that over and over. But they're not going to further proclaim this man's pledges of allegiance. We're not going to be a part of furthering his propaganda. Really? What you're doing is propaganda. You're eliminating the references to his loyalty to Islam. You're trying to make this about hate, and it's not about hate, it's about Islam. You're trying to make this about guns, and it's not about guns, it's about Islam. We're not going to hear him make his assertions of allegiance to the Islamic State. The guy is mowing people down. He is a Muslim, and he's mowing people down on the phone with 911, declaring his allegiance to Islamic State. We're just not going to hear it. We're not going to hear him make those assertions. It's an assertion. He's asserting that he is pledging allegiance to ISIS, and we just won't hear that. This is the insanity that's happening in our country. And what's more insane than someone like this is something you would expect from the likes of Loretta Lynch and anybody involved in this administration. It's that the people won't do anything about it. It's that Congress will not hold these people accountable for these type of actions and these statements and these sentiments that they hold in a way that jeopardizes our national security. They're not just sticking their heads in the sand. They're reaching out and grabbing the person on the left and the right and grabbing them by the scruff of their neck and shoving their heads into the sand. You will not hear this. This is just incredible what's happening. FBI agents on Friday questioned a member of the Florida mosque attended by Omar Mateen, the shooter. They're saying this disturbing portrait of this long troubled gunman who committed the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. False. He committed the deadliest Islamic terrorist attack since 9/11. Let's word it that way. Committed the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. Interesting they use the term modern U.S. history because they got called out. The largest mass shooting was at Wounded Knee in, 1890 with the federal government coming in and killing over 200 Indians. Federal government mowed those down. But in recent history, what's the biggest? 9/11, Islam. What's the other biggest massacres that have happened? Waco, that was carried out by the government. Well, anyway. But here's the thing. This guy is not an Islamic terrorist. according to this narrative. You read through this article here that they published, and where was this from? I don't have the link right here. By Bernie Woodall and Ben Gruber. We could probably look that up easy enough. I didn't drag the link over here into my notes. Fort Pierce, Florida. Reuters. No, he was a loner. He's described as socially awkward, mentally disturbed, long troubled, suspended twice in high school for fighting. Nothing about Islam. They're scrubbing it. They're trying to make this disappear in front of our. And here's something else that was brought up the first day, and it is like, you can't find anything about it since, that he was a homosexual. Gone. No, this is about hate. This is about the ease of guns, being able to get a hold of guns. In another article, since we're following this thread of modern cultural self-destructive insanity, from inhomelandsecurity.com, House Democrats examine right-wing domestic terrorism. While we've got ISIS slipping across our border that they will not secure, while we're fast-tracking, putting on aircraft, Syrian refugees, and peppering the entire country with them, with the FBI and Homeland Security saying clearly there's no way we can vet all these people coming in. We don't know who they are. So we're going to bring them in, and House Democrats are examining right-wing domestic terrorism. Frustrated by the Republicans who are too cozy with anti-government radicals, they convened a congressional forum on Wednesday to explore violent extremism on America's public lands. While the rise of right-wing extremist groups was a focus of the session, so were Republicans who played footsie with the armed outlaws who commanded the refuge. I think they meant commandeered. Closing it to the public and forcing federal employees to stay away. This anti-government movement has exploded since President Obama took office in 2008. We documented approximately 150 radical anti-government groups. Last year, we counted almost 1,000. The movement is dangerous. It includes almost 300 armed militia groups committed to resisting what they see as tyrannical federal government. Hold on. Does this sound like these extremists? Here's a headline out of Massachusetts 235 years ago. The movement is dangerous. It includes almost 300 armed militia groups committed to resisting what they see as a tyrannical government. It's like ripped right out of the headlines from the Revolutionary War. This is today's headlines. This is today's news stories. And here we are. And what are they planning on doing? Taking the guns. We have to disarm them. These right-wing radical extremist 300 armed militia groups committed to resisting what they see as tyrannical government. That's how our nation was formed. And here we are again, full circle, with the tyrants scared to death of this 300 armed militia groups committed to resisting tyranny. And so what's the solution? We got to disarm them. And now, Jeff Johnson from Homeland Security says, you know what? This is a Homeland Security issue. We should be in charge of these gun regulations and enforcing it. They want to take control of everything. It's the modern, it's will be the modern secret police. It will be the Stasi. Oh, and here's what jumped out at me. I was in a discussion with a couple different groups that keyed in on this as well. This guy Thompson pointedly compared the anti-government crowd with foreign and foreign-inspired terrorists. So if you are a 3%er, if you are in a militia, if you are in whatever, a group of people that wants to go and stop a rancher from having his cattle taken, you are in the same category as foreign and foreign-inspired terrorists. You're right there with ISIS. the comparing American patriots to ISIS. He said Americans have the same goals, to harm and incite fear within our borders. They are focusing on American patriots who demand the government follows the Constitution, and now they are equivalent to ISIS, with their goal being to harm and incite fear within our borders. They're staring at American patriots while ISIS is running right behind them into our country. This is deliberate. This is what jumped out at me. Congress, this article says, quoting somebody, Thompson, says, Congress must take this growing threat seriously and take action. And he's talking about, this article was talking about the Republicans, lawmakers, at even the state level, who are supporting these right-wing extremist terrorist groups. Something needs to be done about the Republicans in elected positions who are cozying up to these groups. And what Congress needs to do is to take this growing threat seriously and take action. What else is happening here? Senate looking to vote on gun control measures this week. Of course, it's expected to fall flat on its face once it hits the House of Representatives. But it's interesting, talking to the NRA. Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee for president, has been endorsed by the NRA. He jumped into a gun debate by saying he would meet with NRA leaders to talk about barring people who are on terrorism watch lists from buying guns. Okay, we want to stop people who are on terrorism watch lists from buying guns. What does that mean? Nobody can even see this terrorist watch list. Nobody can see the no-fly list, which those are going to become synonymous. A no-fly list is going to be synonymous with terrorism watch list. Many people, many, many people who have been on the no-fly list shouldn't even have been on there, and were not involved in terrorism at all. And trying to get all that mess unraveled is incredible. Also, the terrorists from San Bernardino to Orlando were not on a terrorist watch list. They were not on a no-fly list. Trump wants to meet with the NRA leadership to talk about barring people who are on terrorism watch lists from buying guns. And what was the last article that I just read you? It's the right-wing extremists in this country who are on par with ISIS. They're categorically the same, no different than ISIS. American patriots. So what are they going to use to put people on terrorism watch lists and no-fly lists? The websites you visit? Your Facebook history? What groups you belong to? Discussion forums? That's all coming. It's coming very quickly. Push is coming to shove. Shove is going to turn to blows. I don't see a way around it in our country. It is coming so quickly. DHS is warning of continuous threat of homegrown violent extremists in light of Orlando attack, urges increased public vigilance and awareness. The CIA director warns Congress that ISIS is working to deploy additional trained fighters for attacks on the West, including U.S., and will intensify global terror campaign. The CIA are the only ones that are calling things like they are. And I'm sure the government's trying to figure out, or this administration is trying to figure out a way to shut them up. Because look at this. DHS warns of continuing threat of homegrown violent extremists. DHS, Department of Homeland Security, Jeh Johnson, put there by Obama, part of the Obama administration, works very closely with Loretta Lynch. DHS, that's Department of Homeland Security. Look at the two different narratives. Same threat delivered two different ways. The DHS warns of continuing threat of homegrown violent extremists. They're talking about patriots. While the CIA says they're warning Congress that ISIS is working to deploy additional trained fighters for attacks on the West, including the U.S. CIA is just calling it like it is. It's ISIS. DHS is trying to get you to believe that it's the right-wing people in this country, the patriots, that need to be investigated. Warning of homegrown violent extremism. Anyway, I'm going to get off of that. It's maddening, isn't it? Watching this. Idaho officials are saying Capitol cannot display rainbow lighting for Pride Fest. Well, they did anyway. We talked about this yesterday, and I'm going to talk about in a segment dedicated to this. Well, actually, what this is, the rainbow lighting of the Idaho Capitol, they ended up doing it because they were first denied, because we don't have anybody can light up the Capitol for any cause, for any reason, any group. But they said, we don't have rainbow colors, so sorry, we can't help you. Well, what if we get our own? Well, if you get your own light bulbs, then yeah. So what this did, though, is this revealed. So they went, they paid their own. There was some funding came from somewhere with the LGBT community to come up with the money for this lighting equipment so that they could light up the Idaho State Capitol, just like they did with a bunch of capitals all across the country for the Pride Fest thing. But this revealed something else. Why was that legal? Why was that? How was that able to happen? Why was there not a process? How is it that anybody for any reason in any cause whatsoever can light up the capital of the state? It's because of the rules. Rules which have the same weight as law. So this is not just about, you know, the rainbow lighting, because what's going to happen when the Nazis want to light it up for their cause? What's going to happen when the Satanists, pedophilia groups, Islam, what if they want to light the whole thing up in green as a symbol of Islamic dominance? And well, yeah, you can do that. That's fine. So there's no limitations. It's because the way the rules are read. These are called rules, not law, but they have the same weight as law. And rules for conduct at the state capitol aren't done by laws. They're done by rules. And the rules say anybody can do this. Now, the rules apply to all operations across the state. I'll get into that in a little bit. But this is something that was kind of good that it happened, because it revealed another deeper, bigger problem that we need to address as patriots. Let's go into American Redoubt news. Continuing arsenic found in Bozeman area wells. Bozeman, Montana, dangerous levels of arsenic found in the Amsterdam Churchill wells. The Amsterdam Churchill area. The Gallatin Local Water Quality District says some levels are above the levels deemed safe under the Safe Drinking Water Act. One of the things I'm concerned about in our country from a Christian perspective is that we're under judgment, and it is going to intensify because of our rebellion against God. We're seeing a heat wave that's breaking records. No, of course, it's not God. That's ridiculous. It's because of global warming. Well, it's going to get more and more intense until we finally recognize that this is supernaturally happening to our country. It will be undeniable, the source of this stuff. But you're going to start to see things like, well, arsenic, boom, all of a sudden we've got arsenic in our wells. We have earthquakes over here. We have forest fires over there. We have our crops are dwindling and shriveling up over here. We have water table dropping off and a drought over there. And so you have all these things that appear unrelated happening all over our country right now. Now, the solution to that, of course, is water filtration. Not like a Sawyer or a Life Straw or a Berkey. Those cannot take out arsenic or, you know, chemicals. But there are specific for you guys, I'm getting to this, self-reliant, preparedness-minded people. If you're in the Bozeman area and you are in this area where you have arsenic, because we're going to see more of this type of thing happen across our country, there are actually water filters that will filter out arsenic. But it's not your typical water filter. You specifically have to get something that removes arsenic. And we have to start thinking about the different environment that's going to happen as our country changes and the things that we could be faced with, how to adapt to that so that remnant can continue to thrive. All right. GOP establishment cronies reveal themselves. This was a great article that was put out by Readout News about the Republican establishment, which are rhinos, and they're pushing things that are in the polar opposite of what would be the best interest of the state of Idaho, to hand over the sovereignty of Idaho to the federal government, to place them in slavery, really, servitude to the federal government, and do not protect liberty or the best interests of the state of Idaho. Well, there are legislators who are, and they are fighting for the things that we want. And the establishment Republicans, the rhinos, the left, they're on a campaign to wipe out the conservative patriot Republicans. And they are actually, they got exposed in this article, going to a left-wing media outlet, a newspaper, to help them do a hit piece on a conservative patriot Republican. But they're trying to do this sneaky thing, sliding in to the back door of this liberal newspaper to help them write a hit piece on a fellow Republican. This is the kind of stuff that's going on. And that was exposed. Most of that was exposed in that American Readout, the Readout News article. And in other news, the Buckskin Mine lays off 45 as coal jobs continue to disappear. Thanks, Obama. The Obama administration directly affecting the economy in the American Readout, eliminating jobs now at the Buckskin Mine, the latest in a series of cutbacks at Powder River Basin coal mines. Huge coal industry there, but it's dwindling. Executives of the Omaha-based firm said the move was a response to the weak market conditions. Coal production plunged to its lowest levels. So, thanks, Obama. All right, let's go to Fox 519, Eye on the Economy. And then we come back, segment two, with some announcements, some things coming up here, some events. Next weekend, we're going to talk about Marble, some new developments. So stay right there. This is the voice of the American Readout.
In a world where not all podcasts are equal.
Well, a terrible tragedy has happened last night, and 50 lives were lost. It is terrible, and unfortunately, it was carried out by a Muslim radical. Yes, the religion of peace has struck again. But that's not here what I'm here to discuss with you. I'll leave that up to John Jacob. What I'm going to talk to you about is the 12-day EBT outage that continues to rage on, and how the British are about to leave the Eurogroup. Hello everyone, this is Fox 519 here, bringing you the news and commentary that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Hello everyone, Fox 519 here. You know those mornings when you could barely move until you've had that first cup of coffee? Oh, I sure do. But you know what the worst is? Terrible, stale coffee. I hate stale coffee. That stuff in the can is the absolute worst. Now, it's part of our food storage, but imagine if you could change that. Imagine if every morning you get up and have fresh roasted beans. How wonderful that would be. You know what? You can do that. And you can do that by going to my sponsor's website, SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. They provide great, and I mean great, coffee. Their green unroasted or roasted beans are perfect for your food storage needs. I do not want to imagine a future where I have to wake up every day and trudge through life with bad coffee. It may seem like a small thing in the grand scheme, but it'll be the little things that will help us put on our boots every day and get out there for our families. Go buy your coffee today and get it into your food storage right away. That's sisterscoffeeroasters.com. Two sisters. All right, folks, EBT has been down for 12 days. The states of California, New Jersey, New York, Washington, Arizona, and Texas are all affected. Now, downdetector.com is reporting that 10 to 50 reports per hour are coming in, that EBT payments are not being sent to cards, and the numbers continue to grow by the hour. Today, right now in America, there's over 40 million Americans on food stamps, and unfortunately, we're running to the point that we may see some trouble become of that. You know, obviously we know EBT cards are the modern equivalent of bread lines from the 1930s. And instead of having to wait in long lines for food, the government just zaps money into those EBT cards every month. And when the funds don't get there, people tend to get a little cranky. A lot cranky, in fact. Folks, no one, and I mean no one, knows why this is down. I have dug and dug and dug, and I cannot come up with an answer. They really, truly don't know why it's happening. Some folks are calling it a systemic trickle failure effect, meaning kind of like a Jurassic Park thing where as one computer system goes down, the others try to compensate for it, and then the entire system collapses under the weight of trying to support multiple things. Some have said that the powers that be are testing to see how much people can bear before they melt down. Well, wouldn't it be inconvenient if the welfare system melted down right before the election? It truly could be that they're out of money and attempting to shuffle funds around, and that the government is trying to mask the fact they cannot make these payments. But it all remains a mystery at this point. All I can tell you is that you must continue on with your prepping efforts. You can never stop and never decide that enough is enough. If you're out of room, get a storage unit. Build a small shed. Do something. You must make room to bring in more food. Food will be the key as this whole thing unravels. Food will leave you with one less thing to think about, worrying about how your family is and how they'll be eating. Then you can focus on the rebuilding, and you won't be a burden to anyone anymore. In other world news tonight, the British are leaving. The British are leaving. All right. You've had your laugh? Well, they've already left our shores, and now they're talking about leaving the EU as well. Here's what you need to know. A referendum is being held on Thursday, the 23rd of June, to decide whether the British should leave or remain in the European Union. Prime Minister David Cameron promised to hold a referendum in 2015 if he won the general election in response to growing calls from his own Conservative members of Parliament, and said that the UK party, who has argued against Britain, have not had this type of say since 1975 when it voted to stay in the EU through a referendum. Proponents of the referendum state that the EU has changed a lot since then in gaining more control over their daily lives. Now, PM Cameron said, "It is time for the British people to have their say. It is time to settle this European question in British politics." And now the current polls show that 52% of people are choosing to leave the EU against the 33% choosing to keep the status quo. This result comes after two polls Friday night showing a 10-point lead for leave, which sparked anxiety across all the financial markets. This surge in leave comes about the probability that comes despite the additional 1.5 million voters registered in this next week. Excuse me, this last week. So, what happens if the British leave from a financial standpoint? One, the ECB is going to have to step up and offer liquidity via swap lines due to the fact that the British will probably sell a majority of their lines of credit as they choose to separate themselves from the EU financial operations. Number two, the separation will not take place right away, but over a two-year process that will allow the ECB to negotiate initially and only during a period that can be extended if all 27 members of the ECB board agree. Markets will react poorly to this. It will cause great fluctuations, but this won't be the linchpin that begins to take things apart. I think there's a bigger event coming. But what the British are doing is positioning themselves to be safe from the EU collapse that will happen if the ECB can't continue to fund operations and the debt that it's chosen to take on. Now, this is just something to keep your eye on for the future, and it is definitely something to continue to motivate you to prep on. Keep focused, everyone. Thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off, and our prayers are with the families in Florida. God bless.
We are back with segment two here at Radio Free Readout. Thank you for tuning in. Segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate to help you get situationally relocated. That does not even sound right. To get you situated and relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho, check them out, selkirkmountainrealestate.com, Patriot-owned business. Now, got some announcements here. First of all, you guys know by now, Marble, Washington, the God and Country Celebration is next week. We're really looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's some events coming up there. I want to let you know, Southwest Shooting Authority, Cope Reynolds, will be there conducting that three-day course on tactical handgun, personal defense handgun 3. That is a three-day class with a night shoot, which basically almost makes it a four-day class. Offering deep discounts for this one because it worked out where he was able to be in Marble and participate in at least some of the events there. So pre-registration is required. Go to that link that we have there or go to Southwest Shooting Authority. And if you still have trouble with that, get a hold of me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And we'll get you connected, hooked up one way or the other. There is another class as well. You guys are familiar with that ground rod primer class with Kay from Combat Studies Group. There is another class coming up similar to that. Effectively, it's kid brother to the CSG's ground rod primer class, or a remedial class, if you prefer. They're going to go over a lot of the threats that are out there as far as online threats and computer security. Start the students out on Tails, Tor, and PGP, PGP encryption. It's basically a detailed introduction, which overlaps with about half the first day of the ground rod primer. That will be available at whiterose.us. That's the White Rose Group. And we're going to get that link up there, too, on our highlights and resources posting for today's show. Don't forget, also, we are now on 96.5 FM out of Spokane. For those of you who are in the area, Spokane, Spokane Valley, Coeur d'Alene, North Idaho, Kootenai County, KTW has expanded because we're on the full network with the American Christian Network and Liberty Broadcasting Service. So that's KTW FM 96.5. Next weekend, June 24th through the 26th, is Marble. The gates are going to open on Friday at noon. The first session will begin Friday at 7 p.m. sharp, and that is going to be a State of the Nation roundtable discussion with Representative Matt Shea, Representative Heather Scott, Representative or Assemblywoman Michelle Fiore from Nevada, Pastor Barry Bird, and myself, John Jacob Schmidt. We will be on that panel discussing the state of the nation and things that affect us to bring you guys up to speed, and also some solutions and let you know what's being done about some of these issues. And then also we're supposed to be opening that up for a question and answer session as well. So we're really looking forward to that. And then Saturday, we're going to be joined by Pastor Sharam Hadian, music by Jordan Page, Cope Reynolds from Southwest Shooting Authority, the author Boston Tea Party will be there, and many others. There's going to be a lot of really good stuff going on. But we're also going to be doing the Youth Challenge, ages from 10 to 17, Saturday at that event, 12:30, meeting at the Ameron booth at the Big Barn there at Marble. At 12:30 p.m., that's when we will begin the Youth Challenge Essential Skills course. It's going to be kind of like a round robin, because we had a commercial paintball outfit that were there last year, and we got word last week that they're not going to be able to attend this year. So we are developing an essential skills course that will go through these various different stations, doing map reading and land navigation with a compass and a map. And they're going to actually be doing land navigation from one point to another. They're going to be introduced to communications, proper radio procedures, and they will be required to use that for this essential skills course. First aid and combat medicine, where they'll treat for shock, treat a battle or apply a battle dressing, and make an improvised litter. Well, they'll have to carry one of their teammates. Intelligence, they're going to learn how to fill out a salute or spot report. And then weapons, where they will field strip and reassemble AR-15. And they're also going to be doing a live fire exercise with that as well. They'll be engaging some targets. And all of that will be in the youth challenge. So lots of fun. That'll be a really good time. There's also, if we got the time, we want to produce a video with the youth as an answer to that Russian video that came out. We posted about a year ago. There were 10 Russian students in the schools. They're learning how to field strip and reassemble an AK-47 in school, not in America. Nope. Guns. You don't even say the word gun. If you hear the word gun, then run to your safe place and we'll find you some counseling. That's America, but not at Marble. Those kids are homeschooled, Christian schooled, raised in, well, patriot families. They know how to handle a weapon. Many of them, most of them, some of them will be, this will be their first time with their hands on an M4 or civilian version, AR-15 carbine. So it's going to be great. And if we have the time and we're able to, we want to produce a video with patriot American kids with the AR-15. So that'll be fun. That'd be a good time. We do need some cadre, though. We've got several that have stepped up, but just to anticipate. And if you're going to be there, we could use some 10x10 awnings for that. Just a quick, cheap pop-up, little awnings. That'd be helpful. Get a hold of me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name, too. Stay right there. As water continues to become more highly regulated, will you have the legal right to use the water on your own property? When the grocery store shelves are empty, will you have sufficient quantities of food being produced on your property to sustain your family year after year? Strategic Landscape Design offers design and consulting services that can make the answers to these life-sustaining questions a resounding yes. They offer water rights permitting assistance for resources such as creeks, ponds, irrigation, and hydroelectric power, plus permaculture design for perennial gardens and energy-efficient greenhouses to produce enough food to feed your family all year long. Strategic Landscape Design is a Patriot-owned business located in the heart of the American Redoubt. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com to learn more.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Well, now that the election results are official, I want to say thank you. I could not have achieved an overwhelming 15 percentage point victory without all of you. Together, we challenged the status quo and sent a strong message to those who compromise on principle that wavering is not a strategy, it's wholesale surrender. And surrender will not restore freedom, liberty, and prosperity to our state. The path to freedom means fighting tooth and nail for lower taxes and less government, and being uncompromising on the rights to life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. It means defending the Constitution and building coalitions around issues of principle. Together, we will continue to push forward the freedom agenda and the values that made America and Washington great. Please visit us and like us on Facebook at Freedom Agenda Washington and watch for actions you can take to help us clear the path to freedom. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the committee who elect Matt Shea Republican.
Welcome back. This is segment three, which is brought to you by Katie Armor. Good friends over there with the full soft armor and the hard plate armor. Front plates, back plates, side plates, and the plate carriers, and more. Go to katiearmor.com. That includes free shipping on everything. Okay, this article came out. They did it. State House lights up in rainbow colors for Pride Fest. They made it sound like there was a few minor hurdles, and then basically that they had the approval of the state capitol. Idaho says, yeah, we totally embrace this. It's not the case. They can't say no to anyone who wants to light up the Capitol for any reason. Why? Because it's written in the rules that way. So naturally, many citizens are furious over this. That is offensive on so many different levels. And lighting up the state capitol in rainbow colors only represents the views of a fraction of the citizens in the state of Idaho. The overwhelming majority are conservative, right-leaning, many of them Christian citizens. They're patriotic, and they are patriots. So this is greatly offensive to the overwhelming majority of the citizens of Idaho, all wondering how this could have happened and who approved this. Well, the thing is, nobody approved it. It's worse than that. Nobody can deny it for any reason whatsoever, any organization. Well, then let's do a Christian patriot. Yeah, you can. You can. You can do the blue and white lights and celebrate this day as the Christian flag day, and we're lighting up the Capitol. Sure, go for it. And tomorrow night, the Satanists are going to be doing the same thing. And the next night, Islam will be lighting it up in green. And the next night, so here's the thing. The center, the symbol of the government, of the people of Idaho, now is a circus. So it's basically meaningless. It means nothing to stand for anything, because anybody can come along, to write your name. It's like writing your name on your mailbox and somebody else comes along and just scribbles it out and writes over the top of it. This is who this belongs to now. When you light something up, you're saying this, we stand for this cause. It gives the appearance that at the government level, they endorse this, whatever is being celebrated or this cause. Now, there's some solutions that we're looking at, but here's something that was revealed in talking to legislators to ask how this could happen. And they're like, I don't know, but some heads are going to roll because this should never be allowed. And then they discovered it cannot be disallowed. Anybody can go up there. Because why? Because of rules. And I said, what do you mean rules? So they write up rules for everything having to do with operating the government, including rules for the grounds of state property. And in there is lighting. You can light up the state capitol for celebrations, and the rules are written a certain way. The rules have to be approved of by the legislature. So let me give you some examples here. I have some rules here because I looked, actually. Heather Scott over at repheatherscott.com/rules-regs. I'm going to put up a separate posting this week specifically talking about this with the links. And we're also going to have this link. What I'm talking about right now is going to be linked in our highlights and resources posting. There are hundreds of pages of rules. While your legislature writes laws, there are lobbyists who are writing rules right now, 365 days a year. What do these rules mean? Well, if you have this, her page completely covers this full length. And so I'm going to be expounding on it this coming week. But for example, most rules are mundane and really innocuous. So here's an example. In the state of Idaho, we agree this law should be passed to create a pharmacy board to make sure that there are regulations in place for the proper handling and storage of controlled substances, right? So you just can't have OxyContin laying around or out on the shelf or whatever somebody can just grab and run off with. Okay, so there's rules. Okay, we agree there should be rules. And here's how you account for it. And this is that the people that should be authorized to dispense this stuff. So, you know, just hiring some, you know, kid off the street and now he's your pharmacist assistant. They have to have training so they don't give somebody the wrong medication and kill them. Okay, well, we agree with that, right? Well, all that stuff comes from rules. The legislators don't know anything about the pharmaceutical world. So they agree to form a board of people who do know what's going on in the pharmacy world. So the legislature passes the law saying, yes, this board will develop rules for operating for compliance to make sure that somebody handling pharmaceuticals has this minimum amount of training. What, Mr. Board members, do you recommend should be the minimum training? Well, we recommend this should be the minimum training, you know, so nobody gets killed. And so the legislators say, okay, I approve. I approve your rules. The rules are almost like an extension of the law. In fact, they carry the full weight of the law. So the legislature passes a law mandating that a board of pharmacy board is formed who will develop the rules for how the pharmacy industry will operate in the state of Idaho so we can make sure nobody dies. So all these rules get stacked up by this pharmacy board. Now the pharmacy board has this stack of rules that they put in a bigger stack of rules with all these other boards and departments and stuff. And so when the legislature convenes at the first of the year, they walk into a stack of 1,200 pages of rules. And most of the stuff, they're not subject matter experts in. And so they kind of thumb through it and they go, okay, stamp of approval. Because I have no idea what I'm even looking at. Anyway, and you guys need this stuff. So here's one, speaking of the pharmacy. The board is considering updating rules, including but not limited to those addressing telepharmacy, pharmacy technician roles, pharmacy security, emergency medication kits, prescription monitoring program, emergency room dispensing. Okay, so the board is also considering rules related to medication error reporting in the event of fatal outcomes and rules related to refill coordination. Okay, so they just passed a rule that goes with this pharmacy law so that if you have a fatality, you must fill out this report this certain way. You know, letting us know exactly what pharmaceuticals you gave to this person and so on. So naturally, the legislators are going to say, yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, I approve. But the problem is they can't read through 1,200 pages of rules. This is how the lobbyists, this is how they sneak stuff in. Now, I'm not talking about the homosexual lighting up the state capitol thing, but that was a result of this rules process. most citizens are not aware of. When they pass these rules, they're not laws, they weren't passed by legislators. They were passed by boards of subject matter experts, lobbyists, who present this to be approved, and it almost always gets approved by the legislators because they don't even know what they're looking at, so they just approve of everything in one fell swoop, pretty much. Now, in Idaho, fortunately, there is public comment mandatory. It has to be made public for the public to comment on. So a wise and aware citizen seeing something sneaky getting slipped into the system in the not legislature, but in the form of a rule, which once approved has the full weight of the law. They see that being slipped in and they go, wait. And then they gather 10 or 20 of their fellow citizens who write up the scathing response to this rule, and then they backpedal. They reword it and they fix it, and this is how it gets fixed if it gets caught. And they do respond to pressure from citizens who become aware of things like this is how Common Core and stuff has been slipped in. Not the legislature. The legislature mandates that the children must have competency levels that prepare them for high school, let's say. Well, there's no, all the micro details about how to do that isn't, the legislators are, all they did was pass a law saying it's now a state law that you must prepare that eighth grader for transitioning to high school. Well, of course. Right? I mean, you love children, you love education, right? Well, who wouldn't vote for this? Well, I hereby vote for this. Now it's approved. Now it goes to these boards and committees who write up the rules on how to specifically prepare the kid to go from eighth grade to ninth grade. And that's where they slip in Common Core and standards that fall under the, you know, NEA lobbyist groups, all these people with special interests start slipping in all their stuff. And then we go, how in the world does this happen that there's these the homosexual curriculum in our public schools? That's because some lobbyist, probably from the NEA, comes in and they write a rule that there must be some type of cultural diversity curriculum, and these are the recommended books that you can choose from. And it's like 4 out of 5 of them are homosexual, right? And then it gets slipped into the school. Then everybody finds out about it and runs around with their heads exploding, trying to figure out how this happened. But here's the thing. You must comply with that rule because the state legislature approved it. Because they never read it, because it's not even possible to read that mountain of stuff. What happened with the grounds on how to make the state land accessible to the public, conducting tours, the hours of operation, the contracts for hiring the landscaping company to mow the lawn, to blow the automatic sprinklers out in the fall before winter. The legislators there's no laws for that. They just pass rules. Okay, this committee will be in charge of seeking bids from the highest bidder from the landscaping company. All right, and they will go with this bid based on their discretion on lowest price, whatever the rule says. Well, the rule for lighting the state capitol states that any group can light up the Capitol for any reason, period. Someone didn't think enough in advance. They didn't think ahead enough and have the foresight to say, you know, this could totally get out of hand with some really freaky stuff that people want to try to celebrate. Then the only way to fix it is to put a bill through while the legislature is in session to fix that rule and or to remove, either change the rule or pass a law that circumvents that rule. this is a big problem, and this is how we're losing control. This is how we've lost control of our government so quickly, because the lobbyists and the leftist agenda, I'm talking like Soros-funded type of people, have discovered this. This is how our head's swimming. When we find out somebody's going to jail for building a pond. Okay, now that's Joe Robertson's situation. It's totally different. That's Forest Service, EPA, and all that stuff. But I'm saying that's how that kind of stuff happens. That happens all the time. How somebody in Oregon can go to jail for collecting rainwater. Okay. Because most of the stuff that we live under is not a law. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of rules. So I want to make this aware, you aware of this, because this is how you're losing control of your community, your county, your state. You will not fix the problems that we're faced with in our country in Washington, D.C. It really will not matter who the president is. So it will matter with some things, okay? But you're not going to, what you're going to fix is your community. That's what you have within your reach. And within your reach, you have the county commissioners and your legislators. This is really important, people. I know this is dry. I know this is not exciting stuff. It's not underground, oh, cool stuff. But this is right here is where we're losing. We are losing. And it's happening right under our noses without even realizing what the source is. Well, I'm going to interview Representative Scott to talk specifically about this, and she's worked with several citizens for self-governance who are working on teams and assemblies. This is a perfect job for the assemblies to assign people. And Representative Heather Scott puts out newsletters, including the latest rules. So you're not looking at 1,200 pages. You're looking at small bite-sized pieces coming out throughout the year. So citizens and assemblies and groups, committees of correspondence, they can divvy up these rules and spread the workload and go through these to find out, to make sure somebody's not sneaking something through that's harmful to us, that robs us of our liberty, or takes control of our children, things that restrict our freedom. Things that are unconstitutional but don't get challenged because it's already a law. And then to fix something in a rule that's been passed by the legislature requires a bill, a piece of legislation to fix that rule. Even if it's just changing the rule, it has to be done through either that committee to change the rule in the next session, or it has to be a law that's passed. And that is such a daunting task. They just grin. As soon as they get a rule passed, it is just as if it was a law, a piece of legislation, but only it's not visible. It's publicly available, but nobody's looking. So this came to light through this. Now what they're going to have to do, and there's actually legislation that's being discussed now, so that in the state of Idaho, the rule will be changed, or will be a piece of legislation, basically, that will be snuff out that rule or add clarification to how the grounds at the state capitol are conducted when it relates to ceremonious lighting of the building. And one of the things we proposed was, nothing can be celebrated which gives the appearance of the state endorsing sexual deviancy or unlawful practices, activities, or organizations. Something to that effect. Secondly, to clarify in the rules or pass a law, the only colors of lights that may be used to light up the state capitol shall be red, white, and blue. Period. So there's the solution. But see, it's a great solution, and I think it would be popular. But here's the problem with the rules. When you catch them doing something, nobody was doing anything sneaky, I don't think, someone just didn't think ahead with the lighting, like by not placing some restrictions on it. So now the legislature has to play catch up. They're behind the power curve. They're reactionary instead of proactive. And this just shed light on a bigger problem, no pun intended, on a bigger problem. And that is these rules that have the effect of law, which is how we're losing at the lowest level from our county level, city, county, township, state, and our regions is because of this rules situation. So we're going to be talking more about this more in the future. Now that I bored the snot out of you with that, I know it's not exciting, but this is a primer, foundational, so we can come back. I mean, a primer. So we can come back to this and build upon it. And then it'll just be small pieces that are more easily digestible. Now, when I come back, I want to share something with you that I thought was really cool. Father's Day is a really cool poem. I do want to talk about this halal food situation as well. Let's just take a break. I need a break. Let's take a break. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and we will be back. Stay right there.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
This is a Patriot Moment with Bruce DeLay. These days, the church needs to take another look at Romans chapter 13. To hear some preachers tell it, Christians are to take a completely submissive posture towards civil government, no matter what. In truth, the Bible never taught that. Remember Moses and Pharaoh? Remember Daniel in the lion's den? We are called to stand for God, no matter what. Some religious folks are simply looking for a way to justify their lack of action today. Yet a Marine Corps general recently told me that the term PC doesn't stand for politically correct. No, he said it stands for personal cowardice. James 4:7 says to submit to God and resist the devil. When civil government ceases to be under God, Christians are duty-bound to resist it. And I might say, fear not, for God is with his people. This is Bruce DeLay, and this was your Patriot Moment.
This is segment 4 at Radio Free Readout. RadioFreeReadout.com is our website, and segment 4 is brought to you by Works.com. Custom-made Kydex holsters made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Don't forget to use the coupon code RFR for your next purchase. And WERKZ is how you spell that, works.com. This, since we're on the watchtower, making you aware of enemy activity out there brings me to my next thing I want to cover with you, and that's halal food. Halal food is much like the Jews have kosher, okay? The Muslims have halal. What that means is it meets certain requirements that makes it lawful, according to the Quran, for them to be able to eat. Now, there's a certification process to make sure the food was handled in a certain way that actually coincides with, you know, the ceremonious way certain meats are handled and things like this. Now, this is a problem for me because eating something that is halal means that it falls within the standards, the requirements because food, the way food's prepared is part of worship. So eating something that's halal means that it meets the specifications, requirements of a false religion. And I don't want to eat that food because to me that feels like it would be offensive to God. But here's the problem. They are sneaking halal food in everywhere. There are logos on there because there's a certification process. So the Muslims know that this is halal. It's, I can eat this because it has been certified. Now, here's the catch. The certification process is a scam because the food, they are so world domination. I mean, there's no other way around this. What they do is they coerce these major companies to pay these massive fees for the privilege of carrying the halal food certification. Because there's so many billion Muslims in the world, and if you don't have this, we're not going to buy your products. So it's an economic... Well, let me read this to you. Food processors and groceries selling out to Muslim extortion to process halal. Make sure the grocery buyer in your household reads this. There should be more leading Australians like Dick. He gets to the bottom of important issues, and anything that amounts to selling out Australia is very important. You can tell where this article was from. A warning from Dick Smith. You may be aware that Dick Smith chain franchise stores are being pressured by the Islamic Council of Australia to gain halal certification. Otherwise, they will be proscribed and banned from Muslim custom. In other words, Muslims will be banned from coming into your store if you don't have this certification. In the United States, the Islamic Council is CARE, located in Richardson, Texas. So this is their response, a message from Dick Smith. We at Dick Smith's have received a number of letters from people asking if we will be putting the Muslim halal logo on our food. To acquire halal certification, payment is required to the endorsing body, the Islamic Council, and involves a number of our site inspections of both our growers and processors in order to ensure that our practices comply with the conditions of halal certification. It is important to note that this does not reflect the quality of the food being processed or sold. It only means that the products are approved as being prepared in accordance with the traditions of the Muslim faith. In other words, food prepared under the requirements of a false religion. So that's something I want to stay away from. It just reminds me of the warnings of eating food that was sacrificed to false gods and idols in the Bible. I mean, you stay away from that, right? They're making it so you cannot stay away from it. I'll continue. We are aware of an increasing number of large companies, both in Australia and overseas, such as Kraft and Cadbury, who have obtained accreditation to use the halal logo. We don't believe they have done this because of any religious commitment, but rather for purely commercial reasons. Perhaps these large organizations can afford to do this. Oh, wait. Perhaps these large organizations can afford to do this. While we have a choice, however, we would prefer to avoid unnecessarily increasing the cost of our products in order to pay for halal accreditation when this money would be better spent continuing to support important charitable causes where assistance is greatly needed. We point out that we have never been asked to put a Christian symbol or any other religious symbol on our food, requiring that we send money to a Christian organization for the right to do so. Others would add that money paid to any Muslim organization, and you better believe these people are organized, can easily find its way into the hands of Islamic extremist fanatics and murderers, irrespective of assurances to the contrary. What other assurances do we have? What other assurances do we accept from Muslims? Oh, that's right. Islam is a religion of peace. How less Australian or American can companies get than to place money into the hands of those who seek to exploit us? This is an example of how the leaders of Muslims in Australia and New Zealand are bullying large commercial organizations, especially in the food industry, into paying what is no more than blatant extortion money. The amazing part is that these weak-kneed organizations, Cadbury, Schweppes, Nestle, Kraft, etc., actually pay the large sums demanded by these self-appointed religious bureaucrats. Of course, the manufacturers promptly pass this levy onto unwitting consumers at cost increases. The council also controls the Muslim voter bloc, which as yet does not have sufficient critical mass to make a difference, but give them time. Several state jurisdictions are under pressure to adopt or permit Sharia law in marriage, family, and property matters, and some, under the delusion that they are being progressively liberal, are permitting this. This has already happened in some local authorities in the UK. Google the UK Education Department's current investigation into the conduct of Muslim-run schools in the Birmingham area of England. How many warnings do people need? Check the produce on the shelf and don't buy anything Muslim extorted. And there's a list of these symbols, what they look like in the various different countries. But it's not hard. It's hard to miss. It's easy to see if you're looking for it. Now I want to leave you with this, fathers. This is pretty cool. This is Father's Day. Fathers, you have a duty to protect and defend your family. That means you have to go beyond the walls of your home by protecting your family, by protecting your community. When you protect your state, you're protecting your community. When you protect your community, you're protecting your neighborhood. When you're protecting your neighborhood, you're protecting your family. We have to be engaged in what's going on out there. We have to be informed. And we have to be fathers and husbands. It's a big task. And it's a big world out there. And sometimes we feel it all resting on our shoulders. And that's why we need each other. But dads, you got an awesome role. The Father's Day poem. God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need. Then God combined these qualities. When there was nothing more to add, he knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. There you go. Dads, happy Father's Day. Tomorrow night, Monday night, I will be uploading the After Action review from T-Rex 2016. Lots of great information. And if you have not filled out the survey, and you did participate in T-Rex, please take a few moments to go over to Amron.com, click on the T-Rex 2016 survey, After Action Review survey, also known as an AAR survey, and fill that out. Anyway, that's it. Hopefully, we'll see a lot of you guys over at Marble in Washington next weekend. We'll be rolling out there, and that's going to be a great time. It always is so good to meet so many of you. And we're going to learn a lot. We're going to edify one another. And hopefully in all that we do, we glorify the Lord. So stay strong. And remember, there's nothing wrong with being a patriot. There is nothing wrong with being a warrior. And being a Christian doesn't mean being a wimp. It doesn't mean being weak. You can be strong and you can be humble at the same time. And sometimes you got to be bold. And that doesn't seem very humble sometimes. But this is the time when boldness is required of us. All right, so it's all those things. We're going to do it together. Hua, hua. All right, John Jacob Schmidt, this is Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.